This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Daniel Wallach has been on the front end of this all along. He's a gaming and sports attorney. You can follow him on Twitter, at Wallach Legal. He is with us now. Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us. I do want to, let's start this way. This from a legal standpoint, purely legal standpoint, this ruling by the Supreme Court yesterday wasn't a rubber stamp on them saying, you know, we support gambling. This was basically saying we support states' rights and we think each state should decide this. Am I right or wrong about that?
That's precisely right. The Supreme Court did not legalize sports betting. It simply removed the shackles that had been placed on states by virtue of the federal law known as the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. That law prevented states from authorizing or licensing sports gambling within their borders. So with that law now being invalid, states are free to carry on as they wish, and those that want to keep sports betting illegal are free to do so, and those that wish to legalize are going to go right ahead and introduce bills and sign them into law. And we're already seeing significant legislative activity since January 1st. 20 states have introduced bills that were contingent upon the Supreme Court decision, and I think you'll see many of those bills moving expeditiously now with the court having ruled.
Nevada Sportsbook average about a 5% annual profit margin. Everyone out there is trying to get their cut. I know the different leagues are saying we want our integrity cut. This is what's fascinating to me. Not everyone can have a piece of this pie. How does this, you know, inevitably work out?
The leagues certainly believe that they have a right not just to, see, there are two components to the league's request for an integrity fee. They're going to undoubtedly have higher expenses associated with monitoring, you know, sports gambling, having educational programs, really watching the transactional activity to spot, any kind of outliers or deviations or suspicious wagers. But they also create the product. And by virtue of their investment of billions of dollars into these sports, sports industry and the teams and the games, there's no betting without the league's product. And in any form of enterprise, the creator of the content usually gets some kind of a revenue share or a rights fee. You see that throughout the gambling industry. They don't give anything away for free. You take simulcast horse racing wagering. When you bet on the Santa Anita races while you're in a remote track somewhere in Florida or New York, the originator of the content, Santa Anita, gets a revenue share. So what the leagues are asking for is really no different than that. I think the real pressing issue is not whether they deserve it, but what the right amount would be so that the casinos and the sports betting operators can still make enough of a profit.
Yeah, I get that, but it gets really dicey when you start to, because a lot of people like to wager on this past weekend, the Players Championship. And when you are wagering on specific golfers, are we giving all of those golfers a cut? And then we were talking about odds on the Heisman Trophy. Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for Alabama, if you're wagering on him at 10-1, is he getting a percentage of that?
Well, under state right of publicity laws, conceivably, the athletes involved should have a state law right of publicity to receive licensing payments. Those issues have been litigated in the past, and there's a case right now brought by some former college football players suing DraftKings and FanDuel for that very payment stream, and that's on appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Seventh Circuit. And depending on how that case could play out, I think conceivably athletes, you're talking about NBA players, NFL players, all the athletes around the country may have a point of entry for demanding a cut or at least a group licensing deal where sports betting operators are required to pay some kind of an annual license fee. So that day, I think, is coming.
You told us last time you were on with us that if this passed like it did yesterday, if that ruling came down like it did yesterday, that Mississippi, who's our border state here, was very close and ready to go. Will they be ready by football season to have sports betting? And how far away is a state like Alabama, who has never even introduced a bill for this?
All right, well, Alabama is kind of far off, but what we'll see ultimately happen is that as more and more states in the surrounding region begin to legalize sports betting. I think states like Alabama and Florida will have to keep pace. So it will be eventual in Alabama. Mississippi is the sleeping giant in this space. They passed the sports betting law a year ago. And we're simply waiting for this Supreme Court decision to come out favorably. And now that that has occurred, I think you're going to see Mississippi roll out new regulations within the next 30 days and be ready to go not only by the beginning of the NFL season, but by August 1st.
Wow.
With that said, how far away are we on mobile wagering for a state like Mississippi?
Mississippi does not have any legal online wagering. They are cognizant of the need to keep pace with the times and technology. So how it will initially work is that the gambling, the sports betting will be confined to the casinos. You're going to have to physically go to a casino to both sign up and to place your bet. But when you're anywhere within the property, for example, if you're in your hotel room or you're at the bar or at the swimming pool, I think these casinos are going to have a related mobile component where if you're anywhere within the property, you'll be able to use your phone to place a bet. And certainly down the road, I would expect Mississippi to join some of the more progressive states like New Jersey and Nevada and Delaware and legalize online wagering. But that may require a change in the federal law because there's a federal law known as the Wire Act that prevents any kind of interstate across state lines mobile wagering. But there's nothing stopping from Mississippi making it completely legal within their state borders. And I think that might be a year or two away. But in year one, it's going to be land-based only with a limited mobile component, which extends to the footprint of the casino.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.